Welcome to Dating Log, the podcast that records the ups and downs of dating in your 30s and beyond. I'm your host, Wyndham Juno, and this is episode 20, Don't Go Speed Dating. Our next guest is newish to the dating scene, and she's exploring different avenues in her quest to find the one, or at least one of the ones. She's diving into niche dating apps for vegetarians and vegans. She's tried her hand at speed dating, and this time, she's committed to taking it slow and steering clear of ending up in a relationship after a first date. Here she is.
So hi, my name is Serena, and I'm actually not yet in my 30s. I have like 2.5 more good months, so I'm 29 years old. And I live in Nijmegen, so I live in the east of the Netherlands. And as for now, I've been using dating apps for, I think, like 2 years now. And before that, I actually never properly dated because everybody that I was in a relationship with, I just kind of met. And then we were like very quickly in a relationship. So I was very new to the whole idea of dating. And so I started using apps like Bumble. I made like a quick appearance on Tinder and then realized this is not for me. So then I got out of that real quick. And I also used apps like Hinge. And Happen for a very short period of time, but it wasn't very successful. And I also have a very niche app that I used, which was called Vegly, which is for vegetarian and vegan people trying to find their match. It exists. I never had a date on it, so it's not super successful, but I tested the waters, wasn't a fan. And I tried to also use Breeze, but that didn't quite go as hoped because dates got postponed and canceled. So I never really got on a date there either. And I don't really get anywhere where I meet new people. So I'm kind of like limited to the apps because, yeah, when I get to my work, I kind of don't need to date anyone in my workplace. And then within my hobbies, I kind of know everybody already for an extended amount of time. So there's, you know, not a lot of options for me to meet new people. So that's why I went for the dating apps.
And you said it's been 2 years now that you've been on these dating apps and trying new things. How is it going?
Ooh, ups and downs. We've had some good moments. We've had some low lows. I think what's very nice about getting into dating, even when you're like, not the regular age of starting to date, because I mean, lots of people do these in their teenage years, of course. But when you start dating this way, when you're like already in your 20s, of course, you have a bit more of an idea what you're looking for and who you are as a person, right? So, but what I really like about the experience is, of course, you get to meet a lot of interesting people. So that's really nice. And you get to make connections with new people, which is always good. But also you learn a lot about yourself, I guess, right? Since I started the whole dating thing, I noticed like all these things about my communication style that I've become very aware of, and the things that I need, the things that I want. I have a long way to go, but I've also learned a lot about setting boundaries. it just also helps you develop more and just learn things about yourself. So that's something that I really like. As I am still not married, it's also, you know, not going that well. because I also noticed that there's a lot of people, you know, my age, our age, around their 30s that still really have no idea what they want. And that kind of surprised me because I thought like when you're like 32, 34-ish, you would think you have your idea of what you're doing and what you're looking for. I mean, you don't have to have your entire life together, of course, but maybe just like a hint of, oh, this would be nice. And then on these dating apps, you always see like, oh, still discovering my dating goals or something that's not binding, just intimacy. And I'm just like, wow. Okay, so y'all have no idea what you want. That's not great. It's been ups and downs, meeting very nice people, but things not working out, meeting people that you think things will work out with, but then they end up not being the right people. Going all the way around.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a bit of a crash course in dating the last 2 years.
I have.
For our listeners, can you give a little bit of background? You mentioned you were in sort of just meeting people and immediately in relationships. So when did that start? And yeah, it was only a couple of years ago that you stopped doing that. So yeah, can you give me a story?
So for me, like when I was in high school and stuff, I had no relationships like at all. I think it was mostly because I was also still like figuring myself out and I was very insecure. So I was also not really trying to make these type of connections. So the first time I actually ended up in a relationship was when I was 18. And it was this guy I met at university. I sat next to him in one of our hearings and I just started a chat and we were friends for quite an extended amount of time. This was 2012. So the Mayan calendar had told me that the world would end. So I figured on our very last exam, I would like hand him a note like saying like, hey, Merry Christmas, whatnot. By the way, I like you. And you know what? If the world ends tomorrow, I'm not going to have to deal with the consequences anyways. So I gathered all of my bravery and I told him and he was like, oh, I don't like you in that way. And I was like, oh, that's too bad. And then we just remained friends. But then suddenly I think it was Queen's Day and he was like, oh, but you can come to Amsterdam to celebrate. And then suddenly he was like, I told him, I'm not going to get a train, you know, on Queen's Day to Amsterdam. You know, I don't want to die. And he said to me, oh, no, that's no problem. You can stay over at my house the day before. And I was really confused because I thought, this is mixed signals, my man. So we had been friends up till that point in time. And then suddenly when we had that sleepover, so, like after that, we were in a relationship like right away. So we had never been on a proper date or anything. So after that we both just like assumed like, oh, apparently now your opinion has changed or whatever, this was your goal, apparently you were warming up to the idea, you just didn't tell me yet. And then I stayed with him for 3 years. So right away my first relationship lasted 3 years, so I had no practice or training or whatever, just straight into it. And then I mean, I think my sister and my mom knew from the get-go that this was not the guy I was going to end up with, but they were always very nice to him. And then after we broke up, I think it took me half a year, and then I went to an event from one of my sports, and that's actually where I met my second boyfriend. And I mean, at this point, I was like, 21 or something. So I'd been single for half a year, and I was just like, you know, getting back and gathering myself again, picking myself up because I had just gotten out of a relationship of 3 years and I wasn't looking for anything, but I read into this guy. And then at the end of this event, one person, a friend of mine, she went like, wow, you had such good chemistry with that guy. And I was like, what? She was like, no, I mean, he was so into you. And I was like, what do you mean? And I was completely oblivious. And then I was like, well, I mean, if he's interested, you know, let's see who he is. Yeah. And I mean, we had a good time together, like friendly wise, we were having so much fun, but I was just like, I'm never going to see you again, probably. And then he turned out to be friends with a friend of mine. So I added him on Facebook back in the day. And then we just started chatting and I think we went on like 2 dates. But already with like all the intention of just like, you know, is this going to be a relationship? And after those 2 or 3 dates, we were in a relationship, which lasted for 5 years. Wow. So I was okay. Locked in again. Yeah. For a very long time. And it was after I broke up with him that, I mean, of course, we had moved in together. We had moved to Nijmegen together. We had moved in together. We were living together for a couple of years. So when we broke up, it took me a while to, you know, get past that and process everything. And we are still very good friends because he is amazing. So I'm very happy to still have him in my life. But yeah, I needed a moment to, you know, process that. So I stayed single for a bit over a year. And that's the moment when I started going to the dating apps. And I started like actually properly dating and seeing what was out there and what dating was all about. And I remember my very first date was an absolute disaster. I remember I had like my very first match on Bumble And I thought like, oh my God, this is the one. And you know, this is a sign from the universe. And this, you know, it's like week one, day one, I have a match and he's amazing. And the conversation is fantastic. And this is meant to be, I can feel it. I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic, I guess. But it was in COVID times actually. And so I think it was a bit more than 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And it was COVID time. So we were all in quarantine. So it was very difficult to meet up with somebody if you didn't want them in your house right away. And even though I hadn't dated before, you know, I was taught like, don't invite strangers into your house, you know, don't go to a stranger's house, this kind of stuff, don't get into the van. So we were trying to meet up and he was like, yeah, I can, you know, if you come over to Arnhem, I can go for a walk when I'm on my lunch break or whatever. So we can just get to know each other a little bit. And we tried this a bit back and forth, but I mean, his timing wasn't like ideal. And then at some point I was like, I want to know who this guy is, what this is about. So I was like, I'm going to invite him anyways. I'm not going to go to his house, but he can come to my house. My best friend had my spare key. I was like, this is the person. This is his name. This is where he lives. This is his place. I don't reply to you in like 3 hours. I'm dead. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Call the cops.
Exactly. You have my key. Just enter the house. You know, do a full-on raid. I don't care. Let me know. And he came over and I opened the door. And at that moment, I don't know what happened, but I didn't recognize myself anymore because I was so extremely nervous that I could not speak. I could not make a proper joke. I was just like, I was almost trembling because I was so insanely nervous that there was this person and I had to like market myself to him. Because with my previous relationships, it kind of just, you know, it developed itself because we were first friends and then something started to bloom. Mm-hmm. But when I was meeting them, I had zero intention of like being like, ooh, look at me. I'm like potential dating material, you know. And now suddenly I had to like, it felt like a job interview, you know, but yeah. I had to sell myself as like being a good potential partner. And I was just like, throughout the evening, I was so nervous and I was saying things that I heard coming out of my mouth. And I was like, what was that? Just like, what kind of garbage is coming out of my mouth right now? And I was so confused because like, I think I'm an eloquent person. You know, I am like, I've never had any issues speaking and I'm a teacher. So that's what I do for a living. And I just suddenly lost all capacity to function. And at some point he left. And I mean, it was like later in the night. It's not like he abruptly cut off the meeting or whatever, but at some point he was going home and I just took a deep breath and I was like, what came over me? What was that? And then basically I texted him. I was like, wow, I don't know what that was. You didn't really meet the real me here. But I was just so nervous and something went wrong in my head. He was like, yeah, I noticed you were nervous. And he was very withdrawn one of a sudden. And I just told him, like, I'd be really sad if you would, like, base your entire decision on this. Because, I mean, you did not get a proper sense of who I am as a person. But he was actually intending to never see me again because he was like, what the hell was that, you know?
No way.
And then, he was, like, properly decisive about, like, oh, yeah, sorry, I don't think we're going to meet up again. And then I was like, yeah, you know, I would appreciate it if you gave me another shot because I don't know what that was. And I actually had to convince him. Because I felt like I had something to prove. I don't know. I felt like he needed to like me in some sort of way. I was naive back then because I should have just said, okay, bye. I didn't. So I convinced him because I can be persuasive. And then we met up again and we ended up dating for like 1.5 or 2 months. And it was really nice. But in the end, I don't know. He suddenly lost interest and wasn't very upfront about it. He started quiet quitting. And I told him like, hey, something up. And he was like, no, everything's fine. And I was like, you sure though? Because it doesn't seem like
kind
it.
Kind of disappearing.
It's like, you're not the same person as you were before either. And then in the end, he fessed up and he was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling some kind of, you know, limitation or an obstacle I can't get past. So I don't think this is meant for it to be. And I was like, yeah, yeah, totally. That's fine. And then I cried a lot because I was like, I'm going to be alone forever. That took me one evening. And then I woke up. I was like, that was dumb. And I went on with my life. So that was my first date story was horrendous. Yeah, it was the worst. It really sucked. And then I was like, oof, I'm not made for this. I'm not made for dating, but I'm also not made for being alone. So I tried again. And with every first date that followed, I started realizing more and more like, oh, but, you know, they can either like me for who I am or they cannot like me, because then it wouldn't work anyways, you know? So I'm just going to be me. And if that's what you like, we good. If that's not what you like, bye. And that made it so much more relaxed in the end. So I'm very good at first dates now.
I was going to ask, how was your most recent first date? When was it? What did you do? And how did that go?
My most recent first date was the 14th of August, 2 months ago.
Okay.
And we went to play pétanque, like jeu de boule. I don't know if it has an English word. You have the metal balls. You throw them as close as you can to the small plastic ball, and then you win. Turns out, you know, I as a French person, of course, I need to win this game. but it was on a date with a very competitive guy. And I'm also very competitive. So we made it this whole deal like, okay, we both needed to win. We ended with a tie, which I think was good for the ambience of the date. And I mean, we had been chatting for a while beforehand and the chats were like really nice. Ooh, I actually accidentally ghosted him for a while. I really didn't mean to, but I went into my holidays and there were so many things happening at the same time. And I just completely forgot to open Bumble. And I was on vacation with my best friend and I looked at her and I was like, I ghosted somebody. And she went like, no. And I was like, yeah, I never did that before. What do I do? And I sent him a text just to be like, hey, this wasn't because of you, right? So I'm sorry I couldn't keep all of the balls in the air. And I tried my best, but I'm sorry that I didn't reply to you. It had nothing to do with you as a person. I wish you all the best. I hope you're doing well. And I thought that's it. But then he texted back and I was like, whoa, you're eager. Okay. So we went on this date and we played the game. We ended up with a tie and then we just had a couple of drinks together and we had a good time, but it was just like a first date to kind of feel like, okay, what's the vibe like? Can we spend an entire evening without getting bored? Does the conversation die down? Whatever. We were good. And that was a perfectly fine first date. Nothing super exciting happened or anything. But he was like, oh, do you want to meet up again? So I said, yeah. And then we went to an escape room together for our second date. And
I think that was,
and it was, I think that was one of my most memorable dates because we were both so competitive. We finished the escape room with just the two of us, even though it's made for four people. So and I was like, if we don't get out on time, this is not going to be a fun night, you know? And he was like, okay, we need to make this work. And yeah, we had a really, really good time. And that was also the moment that I realized like, okay, I think I really like this guy because we're at the same level. We have like the same amount of like, we're both driven, we're both competitive, but we made it really fun. And we worked really well together, even though it was date number two. Even the guy hosting the escape room, he was like, whoa, your cooperation was so smooth and blah, blah. Awesome. And we were just like, yeah, it was. Yeah, so we had a great time. We got out on time. Turns out he was into like, he's like, something that I really like about a woman is intelligence. I was like full on solving all of these puzzles, of course. So I was like, well, okay, I'm glad you then decided that that meant intelligence.
That score.
Yeah, so the first and the second date, they were both really nice. And then from that moment on, I was like, okay, let's just see where this goes. So we have been dating for a while, for 2 months now. Yeah, so that was my most recent first date, which went a lot better than the first date.
You've had some practice in between.
I did have some practice in between, yes.
And when you're going on dates and wanting to meet people, how are you doing it? Are you dating one person at a time? Are you chatting with multiple people? Are you on multiple apps? Like, how is it working for you?
So in the beginning, I tried a bit of like everything and I was overwhelmed because as a girl on a dating app, Like, if you have even the slightest bit of charisma in your pictures, you're going to have 450 plus likes within a day, right? So it's weird because there's not 450 people that like me. I just don't believe that. But, you know, there's that many people that swiped on you. And you have to make, like, this selection. And I find it really difficult to, like, see from a profile right away, especially in the beginning. You don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what you're doing. So then I had like a lot of matches, and then I tried to keep a conversation going with multiple people at the same time. But then I realized, wow, I'm like confusing or confounding the things that one person said to me. And then like, what did I tell you and what didn't I tell you yet? And who do I like better? And I don't want to disappoint anybody and I don't want to be rude and all of these things. And the further I got along, the more selective I became, because I was like, well, you know, if we're on the apps anyway, might as well be selective, you know. If there's this much influx, you know, might as well choose the ones we like best, right? I have all these options one of a sudden. So I was like, well, might as well steer into that. And I have noticed that I am not the type of person that does very well in dating multiple people at the same time. So I can't keep up multiple conversations at the same time, but there's always like one or two that are like above the others. And if I notice that I have like a slight preference towards one or two people, I immediately tell the other ones like, hey, sorry, but I don't think I can give you the attention or give this conversation the attention that it deserves. I don't want to waste your time. I think this might not be what we're looking for. So I wish you all the best, but I think it's better if we just leave it here. Because I don't ghost people usually.
Except that one time.
And it worked. So, you know, there's something to say for that as well. So usually I just tell people right away, because if I have a slight preference for somebody else, it means you're not the one, right? And I tried dating two people at the same time. But for me, the moment anything becomes like slightly more serious, or even if I kiss somebody, I can't then go on a date with somebody else, because I get invested into one person really quickly. And then I don't really want to split my attention over two people and then see that. So as long as nothing happens, I can be on several dates. But the moment I realize, okay, there's one that I actually like better than the other, then I'm like, apparently then the other is not it. So then I am very quick to say like, hey, even though I enjoyed the time we spent together, we had a great time, I don't really feel the romantical connection that I'm looking for. So I think it's better if we just, you know, leave it here. And sometimes if I really like the person, I'm like, but we can remain friends if you'd like. If I feel like I don't really have the time or attention for that, I'll just be like, hey, this ain't it. Sorry. So I'm more of the person that will have several conversations and see how they go, how they develop. But when I'm like finding my preference, I'm very quick to be selective. And then when I'm actually dating somebody, it's always one person at a time if it's like serious dating. Because I'm just not made for the stress also of not telling somebody where I'll be. Because I'm like super open and I'm always like, yeah, and then I'm seeing this person who I know from there and there. And we've been friends since forever. And this is their situation. And then if I'm suddenly like, yeah, no, Saturday I have plans. And they'll be like, oh, what plans? I'm like, stuff. It kind of stands out, you know. Who is that? Yeah, just someone. Where do you know them from? Social things.
Way to be super vague and not exactly lie.
Exactly, because I'm a terrible liar, so I can't. But then it's so off for my usual way of communicating, it just gives me stress. And I'm just like, nope, I'm not for that. So I date one person at a time. I'm clean. Of conscience. And sometimes also when I have multiple conversations going, I have like this little note in my phone where I'm just like, okay, this person, when's their birthday? What do I know about them? What's the name of their brothers and sisters? They have a pet dog. And then like, I don't mix anything up that way. I don't ask them how their sister is, if they have two brothers, and there's a whole system.
It sounds like you've got a system to keep everyone in line.
Exactly. I do.
I've heard you say a few times the one. Can you explain what that means to you?
So upfront, I'm actually not a biggest believer of there being the one. I think out of all these billions of people, there must be a few ones, right? There should be some more people that fit you. But I think for me, when I say the one, it means that it's somebody that you actually see like a future with. And it doesn't have to be a till death do us part, but somebody who you can build something up with that you see for your future, like maybe having a family with, or living together, or going on big adventures and big holidays, whatever. I feel like there is a certain amount of people, a limited amount of people that you could see that happening with. And there's a lot of people where you're like, no, not of that.
Yeah.
And I think there's more than one person who you can achieve that with, depending on how much you both want to like work for that. But I do think there's a select amount of people who that would actually properly work with. And I would like to find one of those ones.
One of your ones.
One of my ones.
What is it that you're looking for through dating?
Yeah, so as I said before, I'm not great at being alone. I mean, I'm the youngest of three children, so I'm also very much not used to being alone. And I think I've gotten much better at being alone, but it's still something I don't enjoy. So what I look for most is I want a buddy and not like a platonic buddy, but like I want first and foremost to have somebody that I can really enjoy spending time with and that I can laugh with and that I can take with me. You know, when you're invited to something and you're like, oh, that sounds really nice, but I'm not going to know anybody there and then I'll be there alone. That's kind of like, it's not like the biggest obstacle, but it does give me a bit of, I don't have social anxiety necessarily, but it does give me a bit of a threshold that I need to go over to actually go there. Or when I'm like, oh, there's this new movie in the cinema, I would love to go and see it. I'm not that quick to go by myself. And yeah. If you have like your person, then you always have somebody that you can ask along to things. And I enjoy things much more when I do them together with somebody. And I want somebody that I can bring along with me on an adventure to do something fun, but also to be at home with, you know, and to like make it feel more homey and just have somebody to talk with. And if something nice happens, you have the first person you call is this person, right? For me, it's like having this safe haven that you can always have with you that you can just bring along, right? And that has time for you and that also wants to bring you along places. So you're just like a team. And of course, I want somebody that is like, that is funny and that is sweet and that is caring. And I want my partner in crime, basically, you know, just to go with somebody that I never get bored of being with or tired of being with. And for me, that's not that difficult. I have a lot of people that I really don't ever get bored of being around, but yeah, just having somebody that's like for me, with me, and I can bring everywhere and just be happy with the whole time. Not the whole time, like 100%, but like most of the time. Yeah, that's something that I would really appreciate in my life. It's something that I'm missing also when I don't have it.
What do you mean by missing?
I can actually like feel the absence of it. So I'm very much aware of not having it. And then I can get really sad about not having that because I really know that I want it. So that would be my description of why it's missing, because I still have a plenty. Like I have so many friends that are all amazing people. And if I want to go somewhere and do something, I can go with them. But it still feels like it's on a slightly, like it's not a different level, but it's like with a different approach, so to speak. It's like a different intention that you have when you're with your friends. And luckily I can give all of my love to all these people. Huh? So I'm not like, my love is not stuck inside of me. I can give my love to my family and to my friends. And that's all wonderful. But it's just like this tiny shackle that seems to be missing in the chain for me, because I know that there's many people that are also just super content in having this network of friends and people around them. But for me, it is something that actually adds something to my life once I do have it. And I'm not going to be sad and mopey when I don't. But I do get a little bit like Serena 2.0 when I do have it, right? So I get like an upgraded version of myself.
Yeah, what does it add to your life?
For me, it just brings so much joy, because I can get like very happy from having people want to be around me, and I can be very happy with their joy. So if I can bring joy into somebody's life, that immediately also brings joy back to myself. So it's very egocentric, you know, all the joy comes back to me and I get to profit. You know?
Sounds like you've gotten to know yourself a little bit.
Just a little. And I also just really love taking care of somebody. And I think that's also because my mom, she's like, she was made to be a mom and a grandmother. I mean, you know her.
Yeah.
Right. So she's like super caring, sometimes a bit overbearing as well. But she's like always caring for everybody around her. And even if it's not the best thing for her, she's always going to do what's best for everybody else. And I've just also learned that that is love, you know, caring for people is what love is all about. And when I get to take care of people and not in a sense as in, oh, let me tie your shoelaces for you, but just like, oh, I'm here for you. And whenever you need me, I'm present. And look, I know that you like this. I got it for you. Or can I help you in this time where you're very busy? Can I do something for you? Or can I just be the one that listens to you while you rant or whatever? It makes me feel complete when I can take care of somebody like that. And even though I do it to a certain degree with my friends, of course, it's not the same entirely as when you're in an actual relationship. So for me, it makes me feel more complete as a person because I can give all of these things that I want to give to somebody without feeling like I'm too much or too present or overbearing or whatever. So it gives me a really big sense of joy when I get these things. And when I can give all of these things to a person where I'm like, oh, look at all this love I can sprinkle over you and have it. And then I get really happy. So for me, it really makes me feel like more joyful. It makes me feel at ease also. It makes me feel peaceful, I think, when I have something like that. So it helps me be more joyful in my everyday life as well.
Where do you stand in terms of like your friends around you? Are they all in long-term relationships? Are they married? Like, how do you fit into that?
It's very diverse, actually. I have like one of my high school friends, they've been together since high school, so ages, because we're old now. But also my best friend actually recently has gotten single as well. So we are going through this dating journey together. And we're always saying like, oh, I'm so happy we at least get to share all of this because it's a lot. So we go on long walks and just talk about all the men. We always have nicknames for the men that we date because she never remembers any names. So I'm just like, yeah, I saw Skywalker yesterday. And the guy I dated, that I'm dating now, we call him Ghosty, because I ghosted him. So it's like,
oops.
So with her, it's like that. But with like my friends from work, most of them are engaged or married. I have friends that are a bit older than I am with kids. And it's very diverse, actually. I also have some single friends. I think I have one friend, she hasn't said anything to us about her preferences, but I am maybe wrongly assuming that she might be aromantic because she's never been in any type of relationship. So yeah, I think it's very diverse in the amount of time and the type of relationships that I see around me.
I heard that you went speed dating and I am super curious about this, mostly because, well, I've never done it, but also I've never had any guests talk about it. So can you share? Yeah, I mean, why did you decide to do it? What was it? What came out of it? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't do it is the first thing. it is too much. No. So why did we decide to do it? Like my best friend and I, we actually went together. So that's why we went, because I don't think I ever would have gone alone. But we were just like, okay, these apps aren't working and all these men are potatoes. And why is nobody like living up to the expectations that we have? Because they're not that demanding. They're not that high. And yet they're still not managing. Maybe we should meet people in real life and then see how that goes. So there was this speed dating event in Nijmegen. And we decided, you know what? Let's just go. And the thing was, we were talking about this. And then in the end, we didn't do it. And then I ended up dating somebody, and then she was like, oh, but we were going to go speed dating. And I was like, yeah, it feels kind of weird now that I'm dating somebody to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go speed dating with my friend, by the way. So then she was going to go, but I wasn't going to go. But then it got postponed. And by the time the new meeting was, I wasn't dating that guy anymore. So we still went together. So it was meant to be, of course. So we went to this speed dating event, and you get you walk inside, and there's a time set, of course, and everybody just like one by one comes inside, and there's all these little tables set where there's like space for two, and everybody has like a number. And it's funny how quickly you revert back to your high school self, because in like a minute, the room had split up in all the women on the left and all the men on the right. And I mean, we were all like between like 25 and 30 something, right? But still, that was just organically how everybody spread out. And I looked around and I remember just thinking, I wish I were a lesbian, because like the women there were gorgeous. These women were all stunning, and they had made an effort, and they had beautiful clothing and wonderful hair. And they were just, you could see that these were wonderful women. And I looked over at the men and I was just like, yeah, why? Exactly. And I looked at them and I was like, you are here because you had no success elsewhere. And that's not just because of looks or anything, but just the way they were composing themselves and how they were like hanging around, and like they were not marketing themselves in any ways, shape or form. And I thought, oh, this is gonna be a long night. And I thought we had like 27 men or something. So you sit there, I think it was approximately 25.
Okay.
The women, they would stay put, and then the men would circulate basically, and they would like shove, like they would like move one chair to the next woman. Yeah. And you just had this list of 27 names, and you could be like tick, and then you would check the box or you would not check the box. And at the end of the dating thing, if you had checked the box and they had also checked the box, then you would get each other's email addresses, because 2024, you know? So you would get each other's email addresses, and then you could continue from there on. And I mean, these conversations, you have like 3 minutes maybe, or 2 minutes. So it's going to take a long time either way. But this is not enough to even get a conversation started, because like they're moving, they're sitting down. Yeah,
that's it.
And then, yeah, they sit down, and then that's already 30 seconds gone, right? And it's like, hey, how's your evening going? Yeah, this is so fun. Okay, great. And it's like, what do you do? Do you have any hobbies? What's your favorite color? You know, it's like you don't get into any type of depth. But after six conversations where you told somebody, hi, this is my name, this is what I do on a daily basis, this is where I live, I'm not having fun, you're kind of bored, right? But then you still have 20 other men to go. And there was only like one big break in between. And I started just asking people weird things. I was like, what's your guilty pleasure? You know, like, what is something you would never tell your mom? I was like, I need to get something interesting, because I'm getting overstimulated by the amount of like voices and people and whatever, but I'm not getting any connection or any information that I want. I just started asking weird things. And then I was like, then at least I have something to remember you by. And there was this one guy who was just saying, yeah, and I followed his event around. So I was like, last week I was in The Hague, and now I'm here, and tomorrow I will be doing speed dating in Oslo. And then I was like, that's not a flex, my boy. You don't want to share this. This does not make you desirable. And one of them, I'm pretty sure he was on drugs. Like the way he was like the whole time, and he was just making weird movements. And I was like, are you okay, my man? And I was like, when is it done? So in between, when we had a break, I would go to my friend and I was like, what is up with these men? What is going on? She's been like, I don't know. You know, somebody just came and told me this. I'm like, that's super rude. Why would they say that? And then that was the conversation. And then at some point I met one guy and I was like, okay, what's your guilty pleasure? And he's like, I collect little Christmas houses. And I was like, that's niche. I was like, are they your house? He was like, no, only Christmas villages was what he said. And he was like, no, only during Christmas. But the rest of the conversation we had was actually quite nice. And he was like, right before the break. So we actually prolonged the conversation a little bit, because we had a nice conversation going. And in the end, I was like, you know what? This guy was nice. And I ended up checking the box. But then I was like, you know, the next day, I was like, you know what? What have we got to lose? He will have my email address. We're good. So the next day I got an email like, oh, look, this man checked you too. And then I got an email from that email address with a picture attached, because they say like, when you send an email, send a picture of yourself, because then they remember who you were, because they saw so many people. So this guy, he sends me a picture and I'm like, damn it, I checked the wrong box.
No.
I checked the guy before him, And he was not at all one of the potential, like nothing about him was anything I wanted to date. And I was like, but I'm not going to tell him I checked the wrong box because that's going to crush your ego. So I was like, hey, it's kind of overwhelming. I think I'm not ready to date after all. And I was like, spare the poor boy. But there's no way to then get into contact with the person you accidentally didn't check, because you can't ask for their email address because they're not allowed to give it to you. And I was like, okay, I didn't like him that much. I'm not going to make a whole fuss about it. But then later on, I was on Hinge and I actually ran into him. I was like, hey, dumb story. I think I met you on the speed dating event, but I checked the wrong box. So if you want to talk, here I am. I didn't hear anything for like 2 weeks. I was fed up with Hinge. I deleted Hinge off my phone. I was like, I'll never meet Christmas Village guy again. It's fine. And then 2 weeks later, I get a LinkedIn follow request. And I'm like, I don't know this person, so I don't open it. I don't accept it. And then a few days later, I get an Instagram follow request from the same name. So I ask my friend who I'm with, I'm like, do we know him? Is he from Capoeira or whatever? You know, who is this guy? And she's like, no, I don't know him. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to look this guy up. I'm going to look up his name. And it turns out to be the guy from the speed dating event who had opened his Hinge, saw my name, messaged me back, but I had deleted the Hinge. He had actually tried to find me on the internet because he remembered that I was a teacher. And then he like backtracked me. He found my Pinterest. And with my Pinterest, he found my Instagram tag. So I was like, you made a lot of effort for all of this.
He did. That's some top-notch investigating.
But it didn't work out, so it was useless. We went on a couple of dates. It was nice. He went on a vacation, suddenly lost all interest, and then texted me that he thought that it was not a good idea to see each other again. I was like, all good, bro. You have fun. And then he was like, but because we danced at the 4 days marches for a bit. And then he was like, but if we ever run into each other again, maybe we could dance some more. I was like, maybe find a new dance partner, my bro. I'm not your backup plan, you know? So I didn't speak to him again. But I mean, it was funny to be like sort of romance and chase, right? He made a lot of effort to actually find me. But yeah, it didn't work out in the end. But we had some fun dates, so it was fine. So do either just don't go speed dating, or if you do, check the box right away. Don't wait for later in the list. Just like check the name again and spare yourself the effort.
Solid advice. Solid advice. The person you are hanging out with in dating now, how is it going and what is your intention? I know it's quite early. And I'm going
to
ask.
I don't do that. I don't do it's too early for, it's just everything goes, whatever, anything goes, like whatever goes with the flow, I'm good with that. No, so the thing is, we were doing very well, but actually last Tuesday we had a conversation that was not that promising. So, we match really well. And when we're together, all we do is laugh. We have very similar interests and we have very similar humor and we have the best time together. But as you know, I am a vegan. And that turns out to be an issue for some people. And it's annoying because I make a point out of putting it on my profile on dating apps because I don't want to blindside anybody. And if you're going to filter me out because I'm a vegan, we're not going to be a match anyways, right? So you best just know up front and then get it over with. But for him, what he tells me, like, okay, I really like you and I've never met anybody that has such a nice personality as you do. And the way you treat me, I think, is amazing because I think his ex was very self-centered, which I happen to not be necessarily. So I think he's enjoying that part of it. But then he also said, like, I don't know if we're like future-proof, if I have these very strong beliefs about, you know, the environment and animal welfare and et cetera. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's not really part of his biggest interest. And he does eat meat and he eats vegetarian a couple of days in the week. But he's like, I said to him once that when I live with somebody, I usually, there not to be meat in my fridge because I just don't like to open my fridge for breakfast and be like, hey, animal corpses, you know? So I mentioned that because that's what I do. I mention my opinions a lot. And I think he was really taken aback by that. And then he was thinking ahead of being like, okay, but then if you were to live together, I'm like, we're not there yet by far, you know,
but 2 months in.
Let's all breathe. Yeah. But I mean, it's also valid for him. He's 32. I think it's valid for him to think ahead, like, are there going to be big obstacles for these potential steps that you're going to take? And he was like, yeah, I don't think that it's the lifestyle that would suit me. And he was like, and you know, if you ever were to have children, you know, what's your vision on that? And yeah, we got into this conversation that I have these opinions about, right? And he was like, I don't think that is how I would like it. And another factor of it was that he said that he has never actually felt like in love, so not like love for a person, but never actually felt like properly in love with anybody. And his longest relationship only lasted for like a year. And he's like, and that's a feeling that I kind of want to feel. And in previous conversations that we had, he said, it's not there yet because for me, that takes time. And I know I'm very fast with these things and my emotions are always open, you know, and I can just go with that and it's fine. But for him, I mean, if that takes longer, I can very well imagine not everybody works the same way as I do, and that's fine. But in this conversation, he was like, it's not there, and I would like it to be. And he also said to me, like, you know, I would like you to have a person to feel that for you as well when you're, like, with somebody. And I'm like, yeah, just take care of you, you know? I'll take care of me, but you're just you. And to me, this time it sounded a bit more like I don't think it's going to be there as either. And then I asked him, like, okay, but then going forward, what is it you suggest? You know, because on the one hand, you're telling me like, oh, I really love spending time with you and I think you're an amazing person, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, you're telling me I'm not feeling the right feeling. So like, where does that leave us? Does it leave you on the edge of I have more doubts than I am convinced that this will work? Or I'm willing to figure that out and I'm willing to do my best to make this work and discover if these feelings are possible, yes or no. And he found that conversation very difficult. And he's not that used, I think, to expressing himself a lot. And suddenly there was all this space for him to express himself and then he couldn't really find the words that he wanted to use. So it left me with a bit of a bitter aftertaste, I think, because in the end he said to me like, hey, the ideal for him would be to continue together to figure out if we could make this future proof, basically, if there would be a relationship there. But then I thought, if you already have doubts this big 2 months in, is it wise to actually do that? Or is it just going to prolong and me having all these emotions, you know, am I going to be the one that suffers in the end? And it also leaves me, I like having control over things. And this situation, I have zero control because I feel like a sitting duck that's just waiting for him to decide whether it's a no or a yes, basically. And I feel like I'm waiting for him to tell me no. And I'm like, the only control I can exert over the situation is stepping out myself, saying, I'm not going to wait for you to say no. I'll just say no. But that's not what I want. So it's like, it feels very uneasy for me to have like zero ways of having any control or any like steering of the situation. And it also took me a bit aback because we were having a really good time and I had high hopes for us. So now it feels like we've done a giant step back, if not just like realized it's not going to work. And yeah, if that's the case, you know, then I know I'll be fine at some point. I'll move on and that's okay. But I will miss him, you know, because I really like this guy. So it's it's a bit bitter, and it's also part of the experience, of course, where sometimes you meet somebody where you really click, but you're just not on the right level of how you want to like sort your life out or the plans you have for the future or whatever. And since we're all like adults now, that is like relevant, and that sucks because, you know, I would love to just go with the flow and then be like, oh, oops, but we're too old for that now, I think. And if it's like big items like this and he's like really not able to see himself like fitting into a lifestyle that I'm very passionate about, then yeah, that's gonna give friction down the road, of course. So either we can fool ourselves and just continue the way it is, or either one of us has to be like, okay, I'm willing to, you know, adjust, adapt, or whatever. Yeah. And I think in relationship, there's always going to be some sort of compromise. But with these things, they're like a part of my identity. I can't really compromise on my identity because that makes no sense. So, so that's difficult. And I also asked him like, hey, why does it feel like such a limitation for you? And then he said to me, I don't really have a strong counter argument for that. I'm like, we're not in a discussion, you know, it's not like you need to, you're not trying to convince me. I just want to know where it is. And, you know, if it's workable, because if I know where the pain is coming from, then I can see like, oh, is this something I can help you with? Or is it something we can work with or whatever? Or is it just like really solid, like spot on in the middle? Then maybe we can't work with that. I'm not trying to make you defend yourself. I just want to know. And he didn't really have a clear idea why it was that he was like feeling this much resistance against the idea. I'm like, I get that you don't want to change for a person or whatever. But to me, it also seems like there's a lot of weight placed on it. And I'm like, for me, the weight would much more be placed on the who is this person and everything around that than this one specific item. But if to him it's really important, that's up to him, of course, to make that decision. But yeah, it feels like a bit of a punishment for me trying to do well, right? So because I feel like I'm doing these things out of like a concern for the planet and a concern for my future children and everybody's well-being. It's like, yeah, well, you suck for that. You know? So I'm like, okay, sorry.
And this guy's sorry like, for doing. Nah.
It's like, wait, but that part, like everything about you, perfect. But you wanted to save the planet, bitch.
Yeah. That's not that. Hard no, hard no.
Yeah, I'm like red flag right there. So it's like a bit double because I really don't want, I really would be very sad if it were to end like this, but on the other hand, I can't really give him what he needs in that sense in this matter. So yeah, at some point you also need to be realistic. So I wonder because we're not going to see each other for a week now, and we'll have to see what he says after that, after he's had some time to think and I've had my time to think, of course. Yeah, and I mean, I also feel like the ball's a bit in his corner right now. So gonna see what he does with that ball.
Crap, we're already getting close to the end of our time because I've got the 10-minute warning. Ah, I feel like I could definitely talk to you for another 45 minutes. And because of the podcast, I'm going to keep this short. What is it that you find the most enjoyable about dating?
So a while back, I thought nothing anymore because I was like, I'm not even having fun dates. Why am I doing this anymore? No, but right now I think the most enjoyable about dating is like getting to know this whole other person that maybe you would have never met if you wouldn't be like in this situation, because you meet people from all different walks of life that I would have never run into on like just a regular basis. So I think that's super interesting and I really like that. And I like that every time I discover something like, okay, I have so much space for people. And I think I'm not always good at finding the best qualities about myself, but I notice that I have such a broad spectrum of people that I can give love to and that I can accept and that I can let into my life. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good quality. I like that so many people are welcome around me. So it also makes me realize good things about myself sometimes, which I also like.
Cool. What do you find the most difficult about dating?
The most difficult I find is that I think I communicate a lot and I find it very difficult to notice that other people are really not capable of that type of communication. So sometimes I feel really like left out in the dark for a long time and I need to like really pull and ask for what I need, even though I feel like it's a very basic need. And then I often start feeling like, whoa, am I asking for it too much? Even though it's like the bare minimum, like just tell me what is going on. And that I find very difficult to really not be able to see into people's minds and to just not understand the reasons why they do what they do. And them also not explaining it to me because I'm very bad at not understanding things. I can never let it be. But then they're always like, oh, no, whoops, I just lost interest. Bye. And I'm just like, well, why? What happened? You know, yeah. I mean, why doesn't your energy match what it did in the beginning, right? What went wrong? What went different? Yeah, nothing. No, it doesn't just happen that way. So I find that very difficult to have like these loose ends or like no closure after you thought you made a connection with somebody that was then clearly not as important to them as it was to you. I find that very jarring.
Yeah, everyone's different.
Oh, and one other thing that I find very difficult is to open up every time again to everybody new. Like, opening yourself up to somebody new, knowing you might very well be disappointed, but also just sharing all of these things about you that make you who you are every time and time again, and having no security and no consistency in who you're telling this to, because it's somebody new every time. And I'm just like, I'm tired. I don't wanna. Yeah.
What advice would you give to people who are dating and entering their 30s?
Yeah, I think just to remember that, you know, we're all adults here. So we are.
Are we?
Yeah, because I feel like, in a sense, you know, we're still allowed to have our inner child and be playful. I mean, I went up to an escape room on my second date, you know, but I think it's important that we just keep on communicating, like, what is it that you want and what is it that you need? Because I feel like so many people are still just scared of asking, like, okay, but this doesn't work for me. Can we do it this way? Or just like, hey, I'm not that interested anymore. You know, just say it. Just be honest. Just communicate. And then everybody knows what they're up for. Nobody's going to feel left behind. Just say it. What have you got to lose by now?
Dating Log is recorded and hosted by me, Wyndham Juno. It is produced by Harry Dark. Our artwork is in collaboration with Esme Hemming Studio. Season 2 is in full swing, so if you'd like to be on the show or know someone who could do with a Dating Log intervention, then send us a message. You can DM us on Instagram at Dating Log Podcast or email us at datinglogpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is datinglogpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're feeling really generous, leave us a review. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh episode. In the meantime, please don't ghost us.